Sometimes the world seems like a hopeless place, a perfect picture of a hopeless case.
Welcome to Hope is Alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give. And then in Mark, he said unto them, go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening and welcome to Hope is Alive. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Blessings again from Oklahoma City.
Amen. Amen. Well, man, I know you've got some callers. I'll be on standby, and I'll just let you know when they call in.
All right. Appreciate it, sir. We do welcome everybody to join us this Wednesday evening for Hope is Alive. What is Hope is Alive? Well, it's the show about testimony, and the testimony is those have been set free from evil spirits, have been set free from oppression, set free from the enemy. If you have any questions regarding deliverance, deliveranceusa.com, excellent website set up. Everything there is at free of charge at a click of a mouse. And if you prefer the old-fashioned way, like reading the book, Pastor Cox has written an excellent book called Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Tell me like that book, and he will certainly get it out to you. I'll tell you what, Pastor, some days these Wednesdays just sneak up, and they're here. And it seems like yesterday we were on the radio. And then sometimes it seemed like they take forever to get there, but this Wednesday snuck up on me.
Well, it happens that way easily. And, you know, it seems to do that about every week. Next thing we know, we're on, or it's time to go on the air.
I know. It's just funny how time's relative. Sometimes it seems like, well, it's been forever been on, and sometimes it's like, well, didn't we just do this? And that's all right. We're here. We're here to give thanks to Jesus, to talk about what he's done for people, and to let people know about deliverance. Pastor, I know you had services, Monday? No, this Monday was
Memorial.
So you didn't have it. Memorial Day weekend. Labor Day, Memorial is one of them. See, I don't even know what day of the week is. Sometimes. So we didn't have any, you didn't have normal Monday ministry, but did you have anybody call in that you took care of over the phone?
No, I didn't, actually. I didn't have any phone ministry, but I tell you what happened. Monday before last was so overwhelmingly large, huge, exciting, and that can last for many weeks, months even. That was one of the greatest Monday evenings I think we've ever had. We had actually 22 people there for ministry, 15 had flown in from Texas in a private jet, and the other 11 from over mostly the Oklahoma City area. Well, there's some from over the state, yes. And it was just a great, great evening of people getting free of all kinds of problems, suffering problems and trials that the enemy was putting on them, and the good news of what Jesus gave us from the cross, where he told us to do the same works that he did, and to, even Mark 16:17, to cast out evil spirits. Well, it turns out evil spirits are there to steal, kill, and destroy, as Jesus said in John 10:10, and they're doing it with Christians everywhere. Not that Christians can be possessed, but they, because as a Christian, our spirit man is totally secure. We're going to heaven if the body dies. But while we're here on earth with these three parts, we have the spirit, the body, and the soul area, mind, will, emotions, all intact. Evil spirits, of course, as we've seen over and over and over, even with Christians, the demons are hanging out in the body area, tormenting even with spirits of sickness, all kinds of sickness even, and, of course, tormenting in the mind, will, emotion area, the soul area. So it's so exciting with what we have from the cross that we can deal with this, with people that learn this part of the gospel and apply it, just like those people I've been talking to them. There are 15 from Texas. In fact, two of them will be on the Wednesday night show next week. And one of them, the second one on tonight, it was actually his dad that put it all together. And he's going to tell about what he saw. He was there and what he experienced in deliverance he had in the past. So we're just full of excitement. Ralph, it's high adventure as usual. Amen.
Amen. And, you know, something I think about is if churches were practicing deliverance or practicing what they were supposed to be doing as far as casting out evil spirits, I don't think they would do these at the time of conversion, a time of witnessing to people, a time of baptism and preaching the gospel. We wouldn't have to concentrate so much on the church, and we could concentrate more on the world.
Amen. Amen. Well, the need is huge, as it turns out.
Yes, it is. It is. And something that I want to address that I've seen being addressed on some deliverance sites, they talk about how you have to be a completely clean vessel. You can't have any sin in your life. You can't have any spirit yourself before you can perform deliverance, or it just won't work. And we know from what we see at each week in Oklahoma City, what I have seen, what I experienced, that's just not true. Obviously, if you're walking a more godly living, you're going to have less hindrances in your life. But even you've talked about, Pastor, how ministers, after they've taken someone through ministry on Monday night, they'll come to you or come to someone else and say, look, I've had this thing hindering me here. And they'll have things come out and released from them. And I even believe that some people have things released to them as they're leading others to the door-closing prayer.
Oh, I think that happens all the time. That may be one reason why all of us as deliverance ministers feel so good after an evening of ministry. We probably, and I know that's happened with people sitting in that aren't there for ministry, but they're yawning mm-hmm. and they're coughing as I'm addressing spirits in the person in front of me. These people just off to the side are getting some freedom. And I know that happens with ourselves as well. So,
yes,
praise God. The cool thing about it is, Ralph, that the Word, as a Christian speaks the Word, even though he may have some demons bothering him in his body yet, as a Christian speaks the Word performs itself and drives these things out so we can be free and go forward in our ministries, doing our God-given gifts and our destinies.
Yes. And I want to address something about forgiving. I've had two examples since we've last talked last Wednesday of where I had to work on forgiving somebody. I had dealt with a customer. It was just absolutely nasty to me. It almost floored me how nasty she was. And when I was out working on some tools, the enemy was just poking me with a stick. Trying to get me, I think, getting me to curse this woman back. And I just kept working and staying on the Word. I said, no, I choose to forgive. I choose to bless. And I'm not going to let this ruin my day. And what I did is I had bound whatever spirits that were affecting her and pronounced some blessings upon her. But it was just amazing how much the enemy was trying to get me to get angry. It was amazing how much the enemy was trying to get me to just act in the flesh. And I sat there, well, I ought to tell her this. And I go back in, nope. Perish that thought. Well, I tell it. But you know, we as Christians have to practice these things, and it would be it's just absolutely false.
Ralph,
doctrine. Say.
Ralph, we're living in the world, you know.
I know. That's what I'm getting. I'm kind of getting
it's
at.
It's going
to
be this way. Then we go to heaven.
To say,
you know.
Yep. To say a Christian can't be affected by demons, can't have a demon. The enemy was trying so hard to get my flesh stirred up last week.
Yeah.
And I would say that if I had not been trained in this and not operating this, there's no telling how many I probably would have cursed that woman over and over in my mouth, in my mind, and do that. And even catching myself today, getting cut off and almost run off the road. And my flesh started to take over, and I mumbled some stuff I shouldn't have said. And I said, you know what? No, I choose to forgive and bless. I'm not going to let that do
it. There you go. Praise God.
No.
And you felt better right off, did you?
You did. What happened today was, I'll tell you, last week was quite an attack. It was quite an attack. I mean, it took me some work to keep saying, no, perish the thought. I am not going to agree with that. I'm not going to agree with that. And I honestly, Pastor, took about 30 minutes before I got, and it was like, it just didn't even bother me. It didn't faze me anymore. That's just how much of an attack it was. And that goes to show you that demons can come against you. They can operate, try to antagonize your flesh. And to say that a Christian can't have or can't be oppressed or bothered by one, it's just not true.
Yes. I'm always telling the people in the teaching the way they're going to have to live the rest of their life. If somebody wrongs them, they feel... they don't have to do this in front of them, but as they walk away finally off to, away from them, just speak out, Jesus, I forgive that person and I bless them. And that's the way we got to live it. And then the enemy doesn't have a door to come through to torment us.
No, they
that's
don't.
The biggest of the doors.
And I later in the day, was talking to my wife on the phone, and time of the day, I had talked about that incident. And even she started, well, I would tell her next time I saw her, I was like, no, I'm not going to. I'm going to suffer a wrong, and I'm going to choose to bless her. And then I had her forgive her and bless her with me.
uh-huh.
But I could, that's the way the spirits was. They thought, well, if I can't get to him through this, I will affect his wife who becomes one flesh with me and see if I can get it that way. So it's just the benefits of deliverance go far past the time that you have deliverance. There's things that you learn and practice, and all these things are laid out in Pastor's book. They're also laid out at Deliverance USA website, and we just want to get this out through testimony. Maybe this is the first time you're hearing about this, but it is so important to forgive, and I would say even err on forgiveness.
Amen. Yeah.
err on the side of forgiveness. I mean, I would rather be err on the side of forgiveness than have a door opened where the enemy has a legal right to come in and torment me.
Well, Brother Ralph, we've got David on the line. David, welcome to the program.
Well, yes, David, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Pastor Cox, Brother Ralph, Brother Richard, for giving me this opportunity to give Jesus the glory through my deliverance testimony.
Oh, yeah, I'm so excited you were able to call in, David. Well, why don't you go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again, what was going on in your life, and how you learned about deliverance, what your deliverances have been like, and changes you've seen, and so forth. So go right ahead, David.
Well, thank you. I like to classify myself as going through four stages to my spiritual growth that led me to deliverance. First is just growing up in my church and just being a bench warmer in church and not being active in any way, not in the fight. And the second stage began in around 1999 when a pastor from Dallas really fused the Bible with history and science and with current events. And that spurred me to read the Bible cover to cover multiple times. And that opened my eyes to what's in the Bible. I really dug into the Word, the truth. And the third stage began in 2009 when I was water baptized up in Branson at a Scriptures for America gathering. And when I came back home, I then began leading some Bible studies with several families. So that really, the baptism really spurred me on the spiritual high. But in 2015, I was driven, I was forced into the fourth stage of deliverance, to a really spiritual awakening out of not knowing what to do at the situation that was going on. And this came about, the need of deliverance came about from a 2014 driving tour, 9-day driving tour around Ireland. And the first night in Ireland, I was looking through a local County of Meath tour guide, and it listed a 2 pages of activity covering 2 weeks of the celebration of Halloween. And it also identified the precise location of the birthplace of Halloween. And I always carry a bottle of anointing oil because you never know when you might need it when traveling. And I said to myself, self, I'm going to find that place and anoint it and in order to break the curse of Halloween off the entire world. And that was a plan. So just to give a brief synopsis of this this place, because it's the wicked place. A woman named Talactica started the celebration of Halloween in the first century A.D., and her father was named Mudruith, and according to a very old Irish writing, he was the person who beheaded John the Baptist during Herod's birthday celebration. And the Irish writing says that brought a curse upon Ireland. Mudruith was also a pupil of Simon Magnus, who wrote a few of the Gnostic Gospels, the anti-gospel writings. And Simon Magnus also tried to buy the Holy Spirit from the Apostle Peter in the book of Acts, chapter 8. So it was pretty bad people involved. And Simon Magnus' 3 sons ended up raping Talactica, this woman, and she goes back to Ireland to that place and gives birth, and then starts Halloween. Both Mugroith and Talactica traveled extensively throughout Europe, gathering all the magical arts from all the witchcraft groups that they found, and this would make Talactica a very high-level witch, sorceress. So this was the place I was going to anoint. I didn't know all this facts before. So there wasn't any signs marking the way, but I found it eventually, anointed it with oil, laid my hands upon it, and prayed for a breaking of the curse of Halloween, and also prayed in the car before leaving to get everything off, anything that attached. Then the thought came to my mind is, why not anoint every other monument you come across in Ireland? So I did. And Ireland has a plethora of Neolithic monuments, which they say go back to 3500 BC. Just to give a rough, Noah's flood was about 2400 BC. And so some of these Irish stone monuments, I anointed, were built before Noah was born. So these were at the time of the giants and fallen angels. So 2 months after coming back from Ireland, some really weird, strange, and bizarre things started to happen around the house. When I lay down at night, I heard voices speaking in other parts of the house. I could hear objects moving around, drawers opening, closing, and when I got up to investigate, there wasn't anything there. I didn't see anything and didn't see any persons there. So when I started to hear the voices again and the noises again at night, I would say over and over, "In the name of Jesus, go," until I didn't hear them anymore that night. Next night, do the same thing. In addition to the problems at the house, I was having a lot of conflicts at work with coworkers all of a sudden that I hadn't had conflicts with. My wife would feel a really cold presence around her, and like the hair in the back of your neck going up, and sense something was glaring at her with an evil stare when no one else was in the room. And the attacks just increased over time, and 6 months passed without relief. So finally I got with the three other men, and we went on a three-day fast with prayers. And at the end of the third day, the attack was broken. It was quiet, and it was just totally amazing. And so this was about the time that Scriptures for America began to investigate your ministry, Pastor Cox. So I've been through several different deliverances up in Oklahoma City, and each deliverances was very different from each other, and each seemed to pull off another demonic layer. So there's two that really stood out to me. The strongest deliverance was the one in March of 2017, and the deliverance was going really well. I had some yawns going through breaking soul ties and inner healings. Then the minister went into the birth up procedure, where he asked the Holy Spirit to go through the years to see which events need to be addressed. When the minister got to 2014, the year of the Ireland trip, that's when the fireworks really popped, so to speak. When the minister mentioned 2014, immediately in my mind, it seemed that I was looking through a foggy glass window high above the entire island of Ireland, with seeing the coastline. And the minister then asked me where in Ireland, and my mind's picture, I zoomed down, and a photograph of the entrance to the birthplace of Halloween came to mind. Through 9 days of driving in Ireland, only one stop sign at the Halloween's birthplace had a green, mossy tint to it. When I first saw it, I got the impression that someone had thrown blood on it, and that's the way it looked after it dried up. That was just my impression. There in the picture was some stone slabs sticking out of the wall that you use to enter the grounds. And when I saw that picture in my mind, the demons within me, apparently, didn't like that. The Holy Spirit had shone a spotlight onto their entrance. And immediately I hunched over, face pointing to the ground. My eyes were tearing up and running. I had snot and mucus coming out of my nose. My whole body was uncontrollable, shaking and tremoring. I felt waves of goose pimples just cycling over me. And I felt or sensed movement within me, like the only example that comes to mind is if you threw a whole bunch of snakes into a bag and you could see the bags move on the outside, moving around as they slithered inside. That's the impression, that was something was moving inside. And there was a main deliverance minister along with two other sit-ins. And all three stood up immediately and placed their Bibles on me. And I was doing my part, breathing out as it was taught, renouncing the demons, rebuking them, telling them to get out, just trying to be an active participant in the fight. And they weren't leaving. all three ministers were speaking in tongues. One of them began reading Bible passages about the fall of Babylon. Now, I don't know how long a time it took before the demons started to come out. One of the persons ministering to me told me later it took about 5 to 10 minutes before they started coming out. And the tremoring and the shaking of my body began to disappear, starting from the top of my head and then slowly moving downward. And that movement suddenly stopped when it got around to my knees and would not go any further. And one of the deliverance ministers received a word of knowledge that it was an ancient generational curse that was activated when my feet touched the soil in Ireland. And I'm a Irish descent, by the way. And so I began renouncing and rebuking all the generational curses that came to mind and any of, and all that I didn't know of. One of my ancestors was a pirate on the west coast of Ireland, so that may have been one of the curses that I had to rebuke. And after I rebuked the generational curses, then immediately the shaking feeling just dropped down through my feet into the ground, and I was suddenly at peace, and I was like looking around saying, what just happened? And I declare now it was the power of the Lord Jesus Christ who showed who had all power. And at that time, I believed the Ireland trip was taken care of, but in September 2020, 3 years after the deliverance, just last year, I went through another deliverance session with one of your seasoned deliverance ministers, Lupe. And Brother Ralph was also in the room, also, and the Holy Spirit was giving him a motion picture in his mind of what was happening in Ireland as my hands touched the stone. Brother Ralph, could you describe what you saw when that you're relating to me what you saw?
Well, if I remember right, what I was seeing in the spirit was it was a vision at first of some sort of like a filing cabinet or computer, and things were being set in order, being rearranged and set in order. And then as you touched it, you were surrounded there as you touched it with your family, with your wife and your son, and you were completely surrounded by all kinds of images of Halloween, like bats and skulls, and all, just completely surrounded around it. But honestly, I don't remember much more after that. I remember those two visions being shown in the spirit.
Right, and so that was exactly what happened when I touched it. Had the curse, I guess Halloween curse, that caused all my issues. And Sister Lupe was then using her spiritual hands to pull off and cut off just a thick layer of this demonic covering that surrounded me. And she was saying that she's never physically felt that much evil and wickedness before. Just that level of intense thickness of that spiritual. And I'm not sure if you remember any more, Brother Ralph, of what you saw after she pulled it off.
No, honestly, I don't. We'll have to go back. I don't know if we had that recorded or not, but I was being shown a lot of things in the spirit that night between you and the other brother in there.
Right, and so you had mentioned that you saw us surrounded with a sphere of white. So I just...
Yes. I do remember that. I think you were... I can't remember if you were surrounded after she was working or before she was working, but I do remember being encompassed by light. But it's just really another year ago.
Yeah, I mean, as a result,
I'm sorry, Dave. If I'd known you're on tonight, I would have looked back on it more. So,
right. After the deliverances, I felt really light. The work complex disappeared. I reached a stage of really truly knowing the power and authority of Jesus Christ. It made me more compassionate towards others, knowing that their actions against me may not be from themselves, but from the enemy's voice inside of them. And it's one thing to believe and to be book smart on biblical matters, but it's a whole different perspective to know how to use a spiritual warfare against the enemy, and it puts confidence at what the Word says is true without a doubt. And the deliverance has truly transformed my life by adding a more of spiritual balance just to the Word of the Bible, since we are to worship Jesus in spirit and in truth. And I've definitely been giving I gave your books out to others. I've talked with Christians and non-Christians about my deliverance. I was in a Toastmaster club, and for a while I gave my deliverance testimony at a competition in front of about 100 people, because the rules state that when a speaker is speaking, then everyone has to remain silent, and no one can leave the room. So how great of an audience is that? So praise Jesus. I mean, I really, really have enjoyed going up to Oklahoma City and participating and helping out with deliverances up there, and just seeing the transformation of people. It's truly an awesome, awesome experience.
Praise God, David. And that was a high-level case that you had with yourself there. Wow. And you went through a lot to get to the goal line, but praise God you got there. The good news is that we, by the blood of Jesus, we can prevail. It may take more than one session, but we have the tools to work with. It just, everybody is different. We've noticed every case, everybody we minister to is different. But the tools we have will ultimately prevail. Hallelujah. Well, amen. How's your life now, David?
It's going good. I mean, I'm progressing forward, and give God the glory. I mean, I wish just all the people I've talked to about deliverance would partake, but they seem really hesitant on wanting to get deliverance. I work in a high-tech industry, and it seems like they're not in really demand. Because I guess the wealth of the world is really clouded their minds. But it's sad,
David,
to see that
David,
the amount of people that need it don't want to partake in it.
David, what you went through with Ireland and all that and the deliverance that followed, you'd have to call it high tech. Amen.
Yes, sir.
High tech. Praise God by the blood of Jesus. Well, as we wind up here, David, what else would you say to the people? We have about a minute and a half left. What else would you say to the listeners?
I would say if there is any area that is holding you back, tormenting you, that is speaking lies to you, I mean, Jesus said that he would give us abundant life. But the thief still comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And it's your opportunity to go forth and set you free by doing getting the book, going up to Oklahoma City, or doing a remote session with you, or finding someone else in your area that can do deliverance. So I would say highly encourage someone, because if you're not set free, then you are held captive, and you're basically a slave, to Satan.
Awesome, David. What a wonderful, exciting testimony. Well, that was a first class deal you had there in the
middle.
I will
say this before David gets off the phone, and he might be able to verify this. We mentioned it last week when we got together the week before. That night when we sat in there in Deliverance Ministries, and there was 1, 2, 3, 4, about 5 or 6 of us in there. I think that was the most I have witnessed the gifts of the Spirit working in unison to set two people free. I mean, you had discernment going on, you had tongues interpretations, you had seen things in the Spirit, but everything was flowing between one brother in Christ, one sister in Christ, and this to set David and the other brother free.
Amen. Yes.
God bless you, David. Thank you for calling in. A great testimony, brother.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you later, David. Did you hear a lot of feedback when I was speaking, Pastor? I could hear a lot of feedback when I was speaking. I didn't hear it, but maybe he had his radio up.
Yeah, Ralph.
I don't hear it now.
Yeah, Ralph, I think it was on David's. He asked when he called in if there was an echo, yeah. So I think that was. And we've got our next caller right on the line. So, caller, welcome to the program.
Hello. How's everybody?
Thank you for joining us this evening.
Absolutely. Thank
Hi,
you
Trey.
Hey, Everett. How are you doing?
Yeah, Trey. Well, I'm blessed, and I've heard that about you. And I wanted to. I'm so glad you called in and with a testimony. It's going to be exciting to hear it. And so why don't you go ahead and just give some history on yourself and when you were born again and what was going on in your life, how you heard about deliverance and what your deliverance was were like and changes and so forth. So go right ahead, Trey.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, it's absolutely one of my favorite topics. I love talking about deliverance. I tell everybody I know. In fact, I recently got engaged, and one of the first things I mentioned to my fiance was this incredible, amazing deliverance that I'd done, and she wanted to know more about it. So anyway, a little bit about myself. I was born and raised in Oklahoma City. I was raised Catholic. I've lived in Oklahoma City all of my life, really, for the most part, but I've lived in a few different states. But I was raised Catholic and Christian. I was an altar boy and you might say an ornery altar boy, and as we all are sometimes when we're younger, but I was born and raised in Oklahoma City, lived a number of places, and the way that deliverance was first mentioned to me was, let me back up and explain kind of where I was at the time of my life where deliverance was offered or presented to me. It was about 8 years ago. It was 2013. And I had decided to make some positive changes in my life. And I set about to do that. I wasn't happy with the trajectory of my life at that time. And so I set about to make some serious changes. And interestingly, Everett, in the midst of me trying to make those changes and really eliminate a sinful period of my life, I set about to make those changes, and in the midst of that, I believe, and I believe wholeheartedly, I came under spiritual attack. I was being confronted with not only by my own choices and wreckage of the past, but things were just coming at me, and it was a really interesting kind of, when you look back at it, the way the enemy was coming at me. I was up against a whole lot, and it was coming at me from every angle. And my father had reached out to me. He was seeing my struggles, and he had reached out to me and had suggested a deliverance ministry. And it was suggested to him by what you might call his spiritual advisor, his Christian counselor. And they had recommended it. And so, you know, I was in a place, I'm like, I will absolutely 100% deliverance. Sounds amazing the way that he described it to me. And so we went on a Monday night. That was in 2013. And Everett, I was so open to it. I was so ready for the Holy Spirit to take over. And I mean, I went in just, I was praying so hard I was sweating. I was praying and sweating and sweating and praying. And I did a full inventory, and I was ready to release this stuff. And, you know, Everett, it's funny, or interesting, I should say, when you were talking before the ministry, you had mentioned that, you know, often there might be a manifestation or something like that. And so I remember hearing that, and then I went off and began to pray. And in the midst of the praying, I actually did have a manifestation. And that's when I knew that something very profound was occurring within me. That's when I knew that something very, very profound was getting ready to take place. And the what you had mentioned at the time was that, you know, oftentimes people's jaw will lock up or they'll find it hard to speak. That's what was occurring with me. And it was very noticeable. And it was beautiful. But it was also a little bit, kind of grabbed me, got my attention really, really quick. And so we completed the ministry that night, and I came with my father, and I consider my father one of the holiest men I know. And we both departed and went on our way. That was a Monday night, and then he reminded me last week when I was telling this story again with Richard there and a few other folks, and I was telling this story, and I said, you know, what happened after I left? You know, I woke up the next day. I went to work like we, you know, did my normal routine and just kind of went on. And then somewhere between ministry Monday night and that Thursday, so 3 or 4 days later, something had come up. I don't remember exactly what it was, but something happened in my life that was a kind of a catastrophe, emergency type of situation. And it just kind of, it was a big deal. I don't remember exactly what it was, because what I do remember that does matter is that the sense of peace that had washed over me, like the blood of Jesus, it just washed over me. And what stood out was my reaction, or lack of reaction, to that outside stimuli, that enemy that was coming at me. I had complete courage, faith, and an overwhelming sense of peace, and it startled me. The event did not startle me. The peace that I felt startled me. And I, from that day on, I knew that something had profoundly changed in my life. And so whatever that was, I was able to get through it, the peace of the Holy Spirit and our Lord. And so my dad had called me somewhere in that period and said, hey, you want to go to lunch and hang out? I'm like, sure, let's go to lunch. So we went to lunch, and we sat down, and Dad, the first thing he asked me, he said, well, what'd you think about deliverance the other night? And it kind of stopped me cold, and I looked up at him, and I said, Dad, something's different. And he started laughing, and he says, I know, something is different. And, you know, it's been absolutely unbelievable and sublime, really. So that's kind of what was going on.
Praise God. What a testimony, Trey. Yeah, that's so, you know, it's interesting how every testimony is different, too, on how it came about. And yet yours was pretty typical in a lot of ways. And you got that, what I call Jesus overhaul. And did you see any other changes come about after that?
I did, and they've been... Yes, thank you for asking. It's been a persistent change. The overhaul, the Jesus overhaul, as you say, My life has never been the same since, in the most beautiful, loving way. And that is, you know, so it's been 8 years. And during that time, the reformation of my life is to the point where, and I really, I only tell my Christian brothers and sisters and people that I'm very, very close with, I just tell them this, my worldview has changed to the extent that I really reject the material worldview, and the only things that matter in my life are Christian and spiritual and things that are built on love. And I've rejected and completely turned my back on the material world. And, you know, and that is not me. That was the Holy Spirit that has changed my outlook. And there's nothing I can do about it. It was the Holy Spirit. And, you know, at this point, things, the way the world appears to me, it just, things make more sense. And there's a peace and a calm in my life that I never had before and never could have imagined I would have before. And so my approach in the world now is just profoundly different. It's been the most remarkable and revolutionary, beautiful thing, just walking in this world with our Lord and having our Lord first and foremost and in control of my life, rather than me trying to be in control of my life. And it's been the most liberating, rewarding thing, and I don't see it going away. I just don't. And I'm so thankful, and I'm just so thankful. And, you know, really, Everett, to you as well. And were it not for you, then I probably wouldn't have had that opportunity. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Trey, and I appreciate it. And it's, you know, I never put all this down on paper to put it together and all that. It just happened over these 43 years. I never had a business plan. It just happened, Trey, so the Lord was just coordinating it. I don't know really of another ministry that operates, deliverance ministries that operates like we do with the teams and all, on a weekly basis like this. So it is amazing to think about how many people have been touched over these, the Monday nights, 37 years, and myself, 43. Well, you were there Monday night, weren't you, Trey?
Yes, I was, and boy, we had a big group show up, didn't we?
Well, it was something else. I was telling Ralph earlier, I can't believe that. I don't believe I can ever remember such an exciting get together with all the people from Texas, and then the other 11 people that came from around the area. But what were your observations there?
That it was unbelievable. We've had you know, a lot of those people have reached out and corresponded back, and they are also experiencing very similar liberations. And you know, that was that group. There were pastors in that group. There are some very, very holy people in that group, and many of them, the feedback that I'm receiving is pretty amazing, but I'm not surprised. the just seeing the gifts of the Holy Spirit and what it's done in my life, it's just so exciting to share that with other people. And you know, I was honored to be invited to come experience that as well. And so, just being a part of that was pretty amazing. But Everett, it's interesting that, you know, I was thinking about it the other day. You know, when you look back, Everett, at your 43 years, when you actually, if you sat down and quantified the number of people that you've touched and that multiplier effect, you know, just all the, and then all the people that they encounter on a day-to-day basis, and then, and so on and so forth. I mean, the multiplier effect is absolutely amazing when you think about it. And I was, I mean, really, it could be, it's hundreds of thousands, if not really even millions. And I know that sounds like a large number, but when you consider the multiplier effect of, you know, just one person going out and doing that, and you look at all the people that came just last week, just from one deliverance ministry on a Monday night in 2013. I mean, and then you take that times every Monday for 37 years. That's really amazing.
It is an amazing thought. And, you know, I was groomed to be a mortgage banker. My dad was a mortgage banker and owned the company, and I got a degree in finance. I was, of course, in the business after I got out of the Navy. I was a naval officer. They were drafting then, so I went to Officer Candidate School. But 40 years in the mortgage business, but I actually started the ministry in the middle of that. And I started doing deliverances at the mortgage company. Now, the word got around that we were really, Oklahoma Mortgage Company in Oklahoma City was truly full service. We were doing deliverances. No other mortgage company was doing it. So, anyway, it was kind of funny how that worked. But we did them after hours, even though I told the people, occasionally a loan officer would take a application late. We started after hours when the mortgage company closed down, but sometime there'd be a loan officer taking a nap, and I told the employees that if they did hear an outcry from my side of the office, that just to tell them it was a collection department. Somebody must have missed a payment. Well, turned out as a result, our collection ratio was unusually good. So maybe the word got around, but anyway, I did them in the mortgage office for many decades, and then finally I started doing them at a church I was going at, and so forth, and finally that church sold, and we wound up renting churches, and as today we rent a church that you saw Monday nights, and so it's been high adventure. Hallelujah. Well, we have yet a couple of minutes. Anything else you'd like to share as we wind up here, Trey?
Just that I'm so thankful and praise the Lord. And, you know, I can't even begin to explain how much of a debt I owe to you, Everett, for doing this. And, you know, I feel I'm definitely feel called to bring more people and do that, because the changes in my life, you know, I think we're at a time in our world here where Christians are going to be called. I believe we're living in a biblical prophetic time, and it's going to be us Christians that are going to, there's going to be people coming to us with questions and fear and things like that, and I'm feeling a strong calling that we as Christians we're going to have to be there for these people, for this awakening in our community, and I think our churches are going to start getting pretty full, and it's up to us Christians to do that. And Everett, you've definitely provided a platform for me to gain the tools to at least help maybe one or two people. So, you know, thank you. Thank you so much for that. I really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Trey. What a wonderful testimony you've done today. And Trey, you need to think about going through our training and being one of our team leaders at Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City.
You know, I was going to training for a little while, and then as we all know, you know, I got busy, but you're right. That is definitely something that me and my fiance have talked about. So that's definitely, she's looking at me right now. I think she's ready to go. So we'll see you Monday.
Praise God. Hey, thanks, Trey. Wonderful again. God bless you all.
Yes, thank
and,
you.
Be talking to you later, Trey. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Everett. Thanks, Ralph. We'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Good evening. Bye. And I would say more of the most important things about the training is it helps maintain your deliverance. It helps get to the root cause of some deeper things. You know, Pastor, I've often thought about, you know, like with David's testimony, and we've had others come on, I say, as they go further into it, I think the Lord shows you more legal rights, legal grounds that have been there, and maybe it's not hindering as bad as you were the first time you went through deliverance, but we all have things that are hindering us that maybe needs more than one deliverance. So that's the great thing about going through training. As you go through the training, it helps you recognize more things in your own life, helps you recognize and be able to deal with things that are within your family and to help overcome those stuff.
Yes, so true.
But it's there Monday nights, Oklahoma City, if you can get there. But you don't have to go to Oklahoma City. You can go to deliveranceusa.com. There is online training there, and there's also online deliverance. The videos that take you through deliverance are also designed to help train you, because it's just step by step. That's what they discuss each Monday night up there in the war room when they do their training. They might go into a little bit more detail. Someone might bring something up. Well, you know, when I was going through deliverance, I had this, and this is how I dealt with it, or I was taking someone through deliverance. So there's obviously more that can be held at that you can learn that what's there on the website, but the website has an excellent amount of information on it. Again, it's deliveranceusa.com. Or Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, the book written by Pastor Cox. That's an excellent manual to have, and it has a step-by-step process in there. And I would even suggest getting the book and then go through the video training that's on the website, and it'll help you see some of the stuff that's there and help you understand a little bit to it. But, again, it's just been a great great Wednesday evening. We're just blessed to come on here and hear these wonderful testimonies each week. Pastor, as always, I'll talk to you next week, and we'll see if it sneaks up on us real quick again. So thank you for joining us, everybody, this evening. God bless, and have a good night.
God bless everyone.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy.
Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing will.